again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 248 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as that used by the great Frank Fitzsimmons, so we call it Where Fitz Left Off. It's Christmas Day. And in a minute, some thoughts about the changes noted in Christmas now compared to those back in the early days of WHKP. The holly bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ on Christmas Day in the morn. That's the last stanza of one of the old traditional carols, The Holly and the Ivy. In those early years here at WHKP, back in the 40s, most of the songs heard during the holidays were the sacred carols. We did have White Christmas, which won the Oscar in 1942 in the movie Holiday Inn. Some of the other pop songs that have been around for close to 50 years include I'll Be Home for Christmas. That was really big in World War II. You're All I Want for Christmas. Later songs added included Sleigh Ride, the Christmas song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That song gained more popularity in one season than any other pop Christmas song. It would be many years before the miniature Christmas lights would be developed and manufactured on a large scale. In fact, the miniatures also operate in what is called a series circuit. They advertise, if one burns out, the rest keep on burning. What they don't tell you is, if one bulb drops out or is loose and doesn't make contact, the whole string goes out. The regular bulbs, little C9s, I think they call them, we had the same problem with them back in the 40s and 50s. If one bulb was out in the old Christmas lights, the whole string went out. A person could cut out that socket and connect the wires back together and the string would burn again. But each bulb would be brighter and operate at a higher voltage. And if you replaced enough sockets, the whole string would just go and blow out. Speaking of blowing out, Southern Christmases for generations was more of a time for fireworks than even the 4th of July. I've heard many explanations. Folks live so remotely they'd go outside and shoot shotguns to wish neighbors Merry Christmas. Or if they had an anvil, they'd make as much noise on it as they could. They used to sell fireworks at Hoke's store on Chimney Rock Road. There's a sheet metal shop in the building now between the radio station and the theaters. But at Christmas, that store would be filled with fireworks and assortments, individual Roman candles or skyrockets, or you could buy them by the box. Before the space age, the gift for a young boy was a cap buster and holster, along with a cowboy hat and gloves. In a neighborhood with lots of young boys, there was an almost constant chatter of cap busters being fired. Cherry bombs and the M1 crackers were for the big boys. You could blow tin cans 15 or 20 feet in the air with a cherry bomb. And I vividly remember the Christmas of 1962. We just built our first house in Laurel Park, and my mother had spent Christmas Eve night with us. Bright and early we were up, as always on Christmas morning, and discovered that sleet and freezing rain had fallen during the night and had created a true winter wonderland all around the house. My mom naturally was up with us, and even though she was 68 years old, she still loved Christmas as a little child. And it was hard to tell who was more excited when I took the fireworks out on the front deck. Each time I'd fire a rocket or a Roman candle up over the ice-covered trees, the sparkling reflections of the brilliant colors was awesome, and all Mom would say was, "Ooh," or, "Ah." Even my grandchildren grew up expecting their stockings to be filled with fireworks. And we continued to shoot them every Christmas until the new condos were built down in front of us. The year the condo units were finished, we went ahead with our annual Roman candle fight with my son, son-in-law, and three grandsons, having a royal ball dodging pyrotechnics, until we heard the sound of a siren. And through the smoky haze from where we'd been shooting the fireworks, you could faintly see the blinking blue lights coming up the driveway. With that, my fearless cohorts all broke for the house, leaving me standing alone in the smoke, with the ground covered with a paper litter of the expended shells we'd already shot. The entourage of the constabulary included police from the town and deputy sheriffs, one of whom asked, "You been shooting fireworks up here?" His question was already answered as we stood amidst the litter and I responded through the fireworks smoke. Yeah. The kids, who I then noticed were all standing in the windows watching what was taking place and laughing to see old Dad, old Gramps, and the clutches of the law. The kids have fired a couple. We've always had fireworks at Christmas. The police officer patiently answered, well, they're not legal now, and we've had complaints. You better shoot no more. I thanked them for their kindness, and though we still give all of the kids fireworks, I suggest they drive to the South Carolina line to shoot them. It's still a part of Southern Christmas for this seventh child, whose daddy, a seventh child, also shot fireworks, and he also, like his son who was born here, he also had the good sense never to leave with a job or with jobs he loved all his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years, and a very Merry Christmas to you.